Good evening, everyone. It's great to connect with you on this exceptional Tuesday night, the next to last Tuesday in November, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. So what a great week this is for many of you. I know many of you are going to be getting on planes, trains, and getting in your automobiles and traveling to destinations to spend quality time with family, friends, loved ones. And it's my absolute privilege to be able to share this last Tuesday before the Thanksgiving Thursday. What a great holiday that is in America. So I'm going to cover some exceptional content tonight, and we're going to wrap this call up to go off and have a great holiday. So I'll cover a few quick announcements, then I'll move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. I want to thank all my exceptional East Coast friends, especially in the Northeast, in the New Jersey, New York area, who have provided such a great following collaboration with me for the last 5+ years. Special thanks go out to my friend Alexis Romano, Tara Romano, C.G. Siddons, Don Ferentino, Joe Alonza, Vicky Pollack, and many, many, many of the others, Desiree Caluzzi, Joe DiBianca. I could give you a long laundry list, Frank Pecoraro, who constantly drives great lengths, Dan Innarell, and many of you have driven from the Albany and upstate New York area to many of my events. I want you to know how much I appreciate you for attending my events. Don Ferentino and I will be speaking many times on the East Coast and other places in the United States, but we will specifically be in Long Island, Baltimore, Maryland. We'll be back in Weehawken, Clark, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, with Joe DiBianca. So those will be some of the places that we will be in the upcoming 2017. All the dates are available on my website. Immediately, if you're in the southeast portion of the United States, I'll be in one of my favorite cities, Atlanta, Georgia. That will be December 3rd. In Saturday at the Marriott at the Atlanta Airport. I will be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. That will be the All She Wrote event, the Turn Out the Lights, the Party's Over event, December 17th. A beautiful location, Weston on the beachfront. Anyone that would like to fly down and catch the End of the Era event for 2016. For those of you of my coaching clients who have never attended one of my Breakthroughs to Success event, that is definitely an event you want to attend. It's also the End of the Era event. December 8th, 9th, and 10th is the last Breakthroughs of 2016. There will be 4 Breakthroughs to Success events and 2 Protégé Writer Speakers workshops. And I will tell you this, those events I've been hosting for a total of 17 years for Breakthroughs to Success, 6 years for Protégé Writer Speakers workshops. And the quality of the content and the quality of the participants is unequivocally off the charts. These are events that if you're a coaching client or you are an advanced coaching client, you definitely want to get to one of these events in 2017 because the content I deliver is a lot more in-depth than what you see at a one-day event. And it's a very intimate event for 30 to 40 of my coaching clients, so it gives you great context of a lot of connected people to me where you can release in a very relaxed environment. January 7th, I will be hosting an event with the great Susan Sly for the first time in 4 years. The last time I did a generic event with Susan was in a beautiful location at the Hilton at the South Plaza Mall in Orange County, California. Susan and I will be doing our first event together in 4 years in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, right on the cusp of Scottsdale at the Biltmore Embassy Suites Hotel. I'll be in Los Angeles, California, Marina Del Rey, January 21st, New Orleans, Louisiana, for the first time with Zach DeRocher and his exceptional wife and many, many other of my business partners. I know Pete and Wendy Kaufman are going to be at that event. They're moving down to New Orleans. That'll be a fabulous event. And I want to thank Marissa Campbell, who's my host, January 21st in Marina Del Rey, La Jolla, California, February 11th, with C.G. Siddons. And I will also be in Baltimore, Maryland. That's going to be a great event. I haven't spoken in Baltimore in a couple of years. I'll be there with Madeline Brown and Mary Ann Snyder, and Don Ferentino will also be speaking with me. So those are a few of the places where I will be speaking in the very near future. I'll also be in Albany, Edison. I'll be in the Meadowlands, Albany, in Boston. Those are some of the events I will be speaking in 2017. Now, before I move into the inspiration portion of tonight's call, once again, a little gratitude goes out to a lot of you who have attended a lot of my events. Many of you have watched me over the years transform, change myself as you're transforming and changing. A lot of my content in the next year, 2017 and 18, is going to be directed and derived at not only how to be a successful business owner in free enterprise, but also how to be very creative and innovative, but most importantly, the skill of letting go. Because if you don't understand how to separate your feelings from the events that shape them, then you will be the mind-body connection to the events that formed your identity. And as you begin to have a better awareness and understanding of what it actually means to let go, then there's an ease that you move into so you're not overwhelmed. And if you're on tonight's call and you find yourself overwhelmed, you find yourself avoiding situations that you keep avoiding, and you want to find out more about cause and effect, I offer a free 15-minute coaching call for those of you who are serious and not curious, and you're committed, not interested, to letting go of the anxiety that keeps you doing what you do. That free 15-minute coaching call, there's a high probability in a few minutes I'll be able to identify the cause that creates that effect. You can inbox me on Facebook with your phone number and what you'd like me to assist you with, or call me directly at my home office phone, 209-932-0227. And with that, I am moving into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. One of my favorite words that I've said a few thousand times in my own personal development self-improvement journey, which actually started in 1975. I seldom tell my story about how I was introduced to consciousness, and that was as a freshman in college. I took a psychology course, and I was introduced to Leo Bascaglia. That was my first introduction to consciousness. At the time, Leo Bascaglia had been a professor at Stanford University. I also, early in my freshman year of college, started reading Carlos Castaneda and also read The Art and Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. That was my first introduction. I started taking yoga classes in college and was introduced to spirituality. I was introduced to a church called the Unity Church and started reading some of their content called The Daily Word. The Daily Word was a series of affirmations that you would say back in the three-channel era of TV, and one of my channels had The Daily Word every night as they signed off the station. I started subscribing to The Daily Word, and that was my first set of affirmations in 75. But as my drug addiction and alcoholism began to kick in, I lost touch with not only spirituality, but some of my own reality. I stopped reading books. I wasn't that attentive, and I spent the next 14 years drinking myself to the bottom of a bottle. When I did become clean and sober, I started to reconnect with some of the books that I bought in the early 80s. One of those books was a book called How to Master the Art of Selling by the great Tom Hopkins. And as fate would have it, I ended up at a stoplight in Scottsdale, Arizona. Tom Hopkins was next to me in a Silver Shadow, Rolls-Royce, driving by himself in 1988. I mean, 6 degrees of separation. There are no accidents. And I started to hear the word consciousness over and over. Now, tonight's call is dedicated to innovation and creativity and the consciousness required to be in that state of being. That is a limbic brain state in your right brain where you're very creative and you're innovative. You're no longer in the how do I don't know and I'm not sure state that overwhelms a lot of society. You no longer have a gap and a delay in your communication style, and sounds like kind of, and sorta don't show up as frequently, and the word guess is typically not mid-sentence in your communication. If you live in an overwhelmed doubt state, there isn't any probability that you could be creative and innovative. Now, many of you are finding this out. To be a business owner in free enterprise, create and or attract with the free market bears, it requires the ability to create leads on command. It's not how do I create a lead, is why aren't you learning to create them? And leads are a way of life. Leads are something that you must be able to have and understand. Leads do not reject you. Leads object or prejudge. And the more you understand and have that creativity and innovation required to not only create leads, but adapt and adjust in communication so you're not overwhelming yourself. You don't have stories about being rejected or abandoned. And you're also able to let go of the guilt and shame that keeps you in a poverty consciousness. Now, the consciousness you require to master is a prosperity consciousness. And in that prosperity consciousness is also where you can start to create reciprocity, where you create the machine that moves the world going around. As you start to live in that state of consciousness, then you're not overwhelmed. And it's not a how do I, it's a very relaxed commitment. It's a decision. And the more you understand the ease of transformation, then you will no longer be a hardaholic. You will stop judging yourself. You won't be so critical, and you won't be in the control that keeps you out of control. I had a first-class, exceptional conversation with one of the best students I've ever coached, Dawn Ferrantino. Dawn and I are very good friends, but also Dawn is a first-class woman. And Dawn is in this process like many of you, only Dawn is someone who's in a rapid state of growth. And I said to Dawn today, the most impressive situation that impresses me about your recovery, your transformation, is how she was able to build a six-figure business while she had a full-time job, a part-time job, and then she also had two accomplished sons who were accomplished baseball players. Now, she was very innovative and creative about how she was able to create that. And that's one of those situations that typically Dawn will tell you that it's something she can't really explain. You'd have to experience it, and every one of you could experience that, because it requires creativity to create a six-figure income and a six-figure lifestyle through the cracks of your business. I have a young man on tonight's call who I've started to become very connected with. His name's Dan Inarella. Dan is a real estate investor, has a network marketing business, and a full-time job that's very overwhelming because he has a passive-aggressive business owner that he's in the process of firing from his life, so he no longer has to suffer some of the situations that he's been subjected to. And that takes creativity and innovation, and you're going to have to learn to make your move before you're ready. When you're creative and innovative, you will find a way. Good friend Joe DiBianca understands that. Joe will share some of his content with you. He's going to be a guest on one of my calls coming up in the very near future. He learned a lot on the streets. There's a term called street money, street sense, and you round money up when you live in that kind of context. It means that you have a way to calculate how to create money, how to be in business, how to stay in business. There's a certain level of hustle that you master when you have these kinds of skills. You have to be able to change tradition. What does that actually mean? It means traditionally you've been conditioned to operate in your left brain. The educational system rewards you for it. That's when I ask people a question in a large room, they raise their hands without even knowing it. That is unconscious. Recently I was in Dallas, Texas speaking at an event, and I had three of my coaching clients on the left side of the room in the front row and another two set of my clients sitting in the front row. Now every time I would walk near a couple of these clients, they would cross their legs. And that was unconscious, meaning their body is driving their brain. That means through auto-suggestion, through tradition, through conditioned behavior, they would cross their legs to close themselves off, to shut themselves down, to protect themselves. Now, the more you understand in consciousness why you do what you do, the more you become aware of why you do what you do, then you're no longer going to live in the overwhelmed state. When you're overwhelmed living in the neocortex of your analytical, egoic mind, it shuts down your creativity. And that's why so many people say, how do I? How do I? I don't understand. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not certain. That's the neocortex of your left brain, your analytical mind, that has to know reasons, facts, figures, logic, and data. Well, that's great because some of that is applicable. If you're a rocket scientist, an engineer, an accountant, a mathematician, I mean, these are the analytics. And it's important to know analytics, especially in internet marketing, but it's also very important that you are innovative. Innovation and creativity means that you easily and effortlessly are able to adapt and adjust. Stimulus and response. You're able to respond to a set of stimulus, the situation that happens, easily and effortlessly. You're able to navigate the situation without overwhelming yourself. Then you're not in an overwhelmed, unresolved anger state. You're not in disappointment. You're not pissed off. You're not in rage. You're not in resentment. As you're able to let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do, then you can be attentive. Attention is not a state you pay for. You don't pay attention. You're attentive, and attentive means you have an awareness. In that awareness, you're able to have a 240, 360-degree circle of awareness where you have You have all six senses of your faculties are open. You're able to tell what's going on without having to know. You know that you know, and you don't have to worry about what you don't know. You're not trying to control situations that haven't happened. Unfortunately, that's one of the biggest causes of many people's avoidance tendencies, because they are concerned and worried about facts that haven't happened. It's very common in my For every 10 hours of coaching, about 9 hours of my coaching is predictable. A large percent of the population that have a business that requires sales and marketing skills has a story about being rejected that hasn't even happened. When someone isn't interested in buying from you, seldom are they rejecting you, although a lot of times you're sending the mixed message that says, please join me but don't, please buy from me that don't. When you're in that contradictory state, I want to be successful but not sure if I control it. I want to be successful but I have anxiety about failing. When you have more energy devoted to failing, then you'll avoid learning the skills that will allow you to be successful. And in your success principles and your success process, that's where being and staying innovative and creative is important. What does it actually mean to be innovative? Well, it means that if I drop you off in the jungle and you have jungle skills, you won't only survive, you will thrive. You'll be the person who creates, you'll build a log cabin without a tool. You'll figure it out. That's what creativity and innovation is. It's the spirit of what drove this country. Although a lot of what's happened in this country is going sideways, many of you witness and notice it, yet it's us business owners that are the most creative and innovative. We seek a hand up, not a handout, and we typically offer hands out. We offer hands up is what I mean, is we're much more creative and innovative than most of society. We are changing our conditioned behavior so that we are self-sufficient, so that we are self-directed, so that we are in the flow of life rather than in the resistance of it. As you begin to be attentive and have a much better understanding of cause and effect and why you do what you do, then you start to be innovative and creative. Creative financing, this is a key component. If you are financially challenged, the last thing you want to do is edify that. Now, that doesn't mean you put your head in the sand, but it doesn't mean you sit around and talk about how broke you are and you don't telegraph your broke thoughts. When you live in a poverty consciousness, you will attract your reality other like-minded people who believe what you believe. And then you'll wonder why people continually show up and go, I don't have the money. This looks really good. Or you'll attract these people and go, no, I'm not giving up my Social Security number, baby. You know, I was in one of them there Ponzi's once upon a time, and no, I'm not giving you my Social Security number. I'm worried you might take it. See, when you live in that kind of lack, you'll attract to reality people who believe what you believe. As you begin to let go of the control that has you out of control, letting go of the anxiety that has you overwhelmed about what hasn't happened, as you learn to be and stay present and focus on the now, and you put energy into results rather than failing. If you're so consumed with failing, you can't learn the skills. And the skills you must learn require repetition, experience, but most importantly, a relaxed reflex. A relaxed reflex is where you can respond easily and effortlessly. One of the funniest things that ever happened to me, and it was in 2005. I was doing a two-day boot camp in Chicago, Illinois, a two-day prospecting clinic. A really good client of mine was sharing the stage with me. This gentleman named Andy walked up to me, and he goes, in a very passive-aggressive manner, he says, I don't like you. And I said, what's your name? He goes, Andy. I said, Andy, what is it about me you don't like about yourself? Now, his girlfriend that was with him, she guffawed, G-U-F-F-A-W-E-D. Look it up. It's an interesting word. She guffawed. It's like, it sounded like she was choking. I almost gave her the Heimlich maneuver. And she was, oh, my God, that's so funny. And he was flummoxed, another good word, F-L-U-M-M-O-X-E-D. He was flummoxed, and he was checking out. No one had ever talked to him like that. He expected me to react. Instead of reacting, I responded. That was innovation and creativity, because he was predictable. He was passive-aggressive, looking for me to validate, justify, and explain myself. What he didn't know, that I'd been in the game a long time, that I'd handled this type of situation a few hundred times. That's what innovation and creativity is. It's not that I did know what to do, and I let go of the control of what might happen, and I let my brain and body come together, and I responded. in those responsive skills, I was able to easily and effectively neutralize him. Now, what was interesting about this situation, that was on Friday morning. On Saturday night when the event was over, he came up and told me he still didn't like me, but he was hiring me to be his coach. Now, what's interesting, his picture is in my coaching wall of fame. He was once in a top-tier network marketing company, and he wrote on the 8x10 autograph of his company's magazine, "To the man I didn't like, still don't like, the greatest coach I've ever coached with." So that just shows you that life is not always a popularity contest, but when you're able to be innovative and creative, you will neutralize a lot of the stimulus that overwhelms you. And that ability to respond, not react, is what allows you to let go of the sound You're no longer checked out. You are checked in. You are present. You are here. You are now. As you let go of processing, analyzing, and thinking, you'll also let go of doubt and anxiety. Anxiety takes you to one of the lowest emotional states of transmutational energy. It takes you down to around 50 to 25 cycles a second at its lowest, and at about its highest energy, about 180 cycles a second. As you no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your anxiety, you begin to live in awareness. It means you get it. You start to understand. You become aware. You become conscious. Your conscious awareness begins to rise. You start to have a different peripheral vision. You can see, sense, and feel what's going on differently. You can tell in a few seconds how much time you want to spend with someone. You can tell quickly who's a qualified buyer and a non-qualified buyer. You're no longer in judgment. You're not worried about being judged. You're not worried about judging someone else. Worry ceases to be a way of your anxiety. When you live in your overwhelmed emotional state, worry, anxiety, fear, doubt, not sure, uncertainty, these are some of the words that come out of most of the American populace's mouth. But as you begin to be here and be present, you live in the now, then a whole different level of communication begins to be spoken by you and others. And you'll start to attract people of like mind to your reality easily and effortlessly. It's the show-up syndrome. Now, when you can conceptualize and create on command, means you know the outcome before you start, and you can see the outcome before you start, that's a vision. And in that relaxed vision, you're able to see the colors, you're able to feel, sense, touch. And in that kind of communication, that's your right brain, that's your intuitive brain, that's your sixth sense, your extrasensory perception. That's the know state, that's the know now. And in that state, you're able to go easily and effortlessly to any restaurant, and miraculously, there's a parking spot, there's a curved booth setting there for you, there's the best table that you want to dine in. I dined Friday night at a restaurant called Ruth's Chris, right across the street from the Sheraton Weehawken, and the very table that I decided I wanted before I ever got there was open. It was a round top. Now, I'd requested a table for seven. There were six of us, and it was an outstanding view of the entire restaurant. It was right up front, elevated, on a ledge, great view, waiter I'd had before, ideal situation. It was a round table, not a long table. A long table, it hinders the ability to connect because you're facing each other. You're not able to look at each other. And it would create a much more relaxed environment and, most importantly, a better experience. Now, in innovation and creativity, that's you're able to experience. And in that experience, you're able to feel. Now, be attentive to advertisements that you watch, either print ads, billboards, videos online, in 30-second messages. When you're driving down a freeway and you see a billboard, there's only a certain amount of time that your left eye iris or your right eye iris has the ability to scan the billboard and understand what's going on. Yet your unconscious mind picks up on it, and if it affects you emotionally, there's a high probability that that message had something to do with you releasing your sexual energy, and if it's in your sexual energy, you'll remember it longer in your brain. So when you go into a store, a retail outlet, you go online, your unconscious remembers that through auto-suggestion, and automatically you hit the purchase button, the submit button. And now when you begin to understand how advertisers of the world, content writers, people who are very skilled at writing sales skills and sales marketing, branding content, content marketing, content writing, then you start to have a better understanding of how to create some of your own content. And your objective is to be able to put people in a very relaxed state so you can communicate, collaborate, create results on command. But if you enter into an engagement anxious, overwhelmed, then you've shut down a lot of your faculties. You're not going to be creative. You're not going to be innovative. You'll have challenges adapting and adjusting. You'll check out. Sounds will come out of your mouth like, well, I don't know. I'm not certain. And if this kind of situation, you want to be able to effectively let go. Now, what you also must understand in your creativity and innovation is a large percent of society can't decide. They will give you a delayed gratification, expecting you to actually believe that they're going to follow through on what they don't commit in. Well, what I'm going to do is after the first of the year, I'm definitely going to hire you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to check out your services. I'm going to look you up, and I'm going to come to one of your events, and I'm going to buy from you. Well, that does happen, but you also have to understand that money moves quickly, and people buy emotionally. And if you're not skilled at this process in your innovation and creativity, then instead of being in front of the eight ball at the cue ball, you're going to be behind the eight ball. And if you're going to be in that situation, then you're going to be chronically late, overwhelmed, behind, and you're going to have challenges attracting and creating people who you can collaborate with to create reciprocity, prosperity, and most importantly, long-term wealth. The moving parts of success are mastered by you understanding how to master your emotions. But if you're checked out, overwhelmed, you grew up with passive-aggressive parents, siblings, people in your circle of influence, and you're in a chronic validator, justifier, explainer, a chronic people pleaser, overwhelmer, overdoer, overobligator, then you're going to have in your speed, you're not going to be in a very, 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 very fast speed. You're going to be a very slow speed. The speed of money moves quickly. You want to be able to capitalize on it. You have to be able to capitalize on situations as they avail themselves. That requires innovation and creativity. As eight states ratify new marijuana laws, you think there aren't going to be more opportunities to be a business owner, an entrepreneur? I'm not suggesting you smoke weed or you ingest marijuana, but I'm suggesting you watch what begins to happen to free enterprise because of new laws that are opening for business owners. This is the time to flourish. It's not the time to sit on your ass. This is the time to be creative and innovative. But if you have stories that hinder you, change your story. If you're someone who has to have everything perfect before you can make your move, learn to make your move before you're ready. If you get overwhelmed easily, you won't make it in this world. You can't be overwhelmed and be a business owner because the moving parts of success move very quickly. You have to have this a snap your fingers really quickly and be able to decide quickly. But if you're one of these people that everything has to be perfect, what most people do is they decide when they have the money. They don't decide and then attract the money. Unfortunately, that's what most people do. I had a woman who hired me last week, told me she didn't know how she was going to have it, but she had it. She sent me a picture of a check for $3,017 that miraculously, mythically showed up. Now, that will happen to you when you decide first and create second. But what most people do is they want to create and then decide. That's completely ass backwards to how you are creative and innovative. As you begin to let go of the control that keeps you in control of being out of control, you'll be a lot more creative. So who is creative? A very small percent of the population. The status quo tiptoes quietly through life, waiting for the perfect moment to make their move. The status quo quietly tiptoes through life, wanting to be compensated every other week because they have a job that pays them what their job is worth. Who is creative? A small percent of the population. Creativity is not rewarded in the educational system. You're not rewarded for it. You're often reprimanded for being creative. You're taught how to color inside the lines, not how to color outside the lines. You're not taught how to put oil on canvas. You're not taught how to put watercolor on paper. You're not taught that anymore. A lot of colleges and schools are doing away with their art department. You have to be artistic, an art eye. If you pick up a camera, you want to be able to compose in the viewfinder. That's composition. I was assisting my young superstar, Alec Friels, to understand whenever he picks up a camera, it's the viewfinder. It's the outcome before he starts that he must master. You must see on the photograph on contact paper. Now, I am fortunate. I took photography black and white with an Olympus OM-1 in 1977. I saved $171 to buy my first Olympus one. It's in a drawer about 4 feet away from me. I just picked it up 2 days ago and looked through the viewfinder. I was creating composition. That means I saw the photograph before I started. I saw the outcome before I began. I began with an end in mind. Now, when you start to have that kind of art eye, when you start to be able to look through the lens, the viewfinder, you can look down the street and see the vanishing point, the horizon line, and you have a clearly defined goal about an outcome that you're committed to. If you want to take a trip, you start to devote the money weekly to taking that trip. If you want to go to Australia, it's going to be a 14-hour flight from LA or San Francisco. You're going to fly in Qantas or United. You're not going to fly second class. You're going to fly first class. You want to be able to set aside about 10 grand for a seat that folds all the way down. And you want an aisle seat, and you want to be in the front cabin. I mean, these are some of the situations that you begin to create before you get there. And where are you going to stay? You want to stay in the Rocks in Sydney. That's the Beverly Hills of Sydney, Australia. There's the Hyatt Regency right down there. There's a place where you can get a junior suite. Has a balcony that looks right out on the Sydney Harbor House. There's a picture on my wall right here of me on that balcony. Now, I saw Tony Robbins interviewed on a video for Gunthy Ranker called The Edge. And in the background was a Sydney Opera House. I Googled that in 2005 and looked that up, and I said, okay, where would that hotel be? I figured out that through deductive reasoning, that had to be the Hyatt Regency. I actually called them, 01161 in the phone number. 011 gets me out long distance. 61's the long distance code for Australia. And then I Googled the number for the Hyatt, and I asked them a question. The reason I'm calling is I rented a junior suite for $1,100 so I could take that picture, and right there it is on my wall. There's another picture of me on one of those beautiful beaches that's uninhibited in the world in Perth, Australia. There's a building ordinance against any building on the horizon line. So I'm looking at this picture right here that I took in 2007 through the viewfinder. Composition created the outcome, and there are people standing there in long boards who are getting ready to surf in their wetsuits. One of those beautiful places I've ever been. Begin with the end in mind. There's a restaurant in Perth, Australia called Cicerello's, one of the top fish and chip joints in the world. I waited for about an hour down the street to have some of the best fish and chips in newspaper with scotch tape. So when you buy in Cicerello's, they wrap your fish and chips up in white paper and newspaper, and your plate, that's your plate, newspaper, and it's taped up, and you sit down at a little tiny table, and sometimes you wait 1 hour for the luxury of eating one of the finest fish and chip joints in the world. Begin with the end in mind. That's what creativity is. You know that you know that you know, and you no longer doubt what you know. When you live in that kind of creativity, winners find a way. And when you live in that kind of space, you can overcome the obstacles. You can overcome the odds at a much higher law of averages. You don't get hung up in the details. You focus on the results. Unfortunately, a large percent of society gets hung up in the fact that they don't have the money. They're not willing to devote the money. They're not willing to invest the money. They let money be the reason to rob them of their experience. You want to be able to create money on command. It's not a how-do-I, it's a decision. I am very skilled and have a knack and an innovation and creativity for money finding me. If I went out of business tonight, I'd be in business tonight. I wouldn't be out of business tonight. I'd be back in business tonight in some other business. And if I couldn't resurrect that business, I would be in business. I would not trade time for dollars in someone else's dream, a place called a job. I'm creative and innovative. That's street money. That's street sense. Michael Perkins, who I had the unequivocal privilege of having on my call on November 2nd, a gentleman who creates over 7 figures a month in his innovative enterprise from the comfort of his home, his airplane, and wherever he wants to create his business, he understands that. Street money, street sense, the hustle. You have to understand that. You have to be able to understand what is required of you to be and stay successful in business one day at a time over a long career. And it doesn't happen from avoiding. You can't possibly master your skills until you've mastered your emotions. And if your story robs you of the experience, then you won't experience what it's like to be successful. You'll let the experience from past events be your experiences. You'll create overwhelmed states of consciousness. You'll have anxiety about what you don't want to have happen. Then you'll attract what you don't want to have happen to fulfill your disappointment. That's not your creativity. That's your addictive state. As you begin to let go of your emotions that drive your addictions, you'll no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your feelings. Your why. If you don't have a why that makes you cry, then you don't really have a reason to change. Now, a why that makes you cry, that you determine what that means. I mean, that's totally up to you. That's up to your creativity and your innovation. But I'll tell you right now, your why better be about you somewhere. But if you go, I'm going to walk around this planet and I'm going to give back, I'm going to contribute, that's great, that's awesome. If you're saying my why is to pay it forward, that's awesome. But where are you in your why? If you're not in your why, it's usually because you're too guilty to have a why. You've been conditioned to behave in a way that it's shameful. It's whatever it is. It's greedy. And money doesn't respond to greed. You require large amounts of money to live a good life. And you also require large amounts of money to be free of debt. Whatever large amounts of money mean to you, that's for you to determine what that means. But it starts somewhere around $20,000 a month. $20,000 a month after taxes with no overheads, about $13,000. If you have any overhead, a couple thousand or more a month, well, now you're down to $11,000. If you have a mortgage, one of those death pledges that many people sign for 30 years, that's 360 months, or 15 years, that's 180 months. And then you're going to be paying a lot of interest on money that doesn't exist. Well, that's why you want to have a business from the comfort of your home. So you free yourself of anxieties about money that doesn't exist. You must understand the money Ponzi game, which is interesting. The government likes to point out certain businesses are Ponzi's, yet they run the biggest one in the world. The banking industry, the educational industry, and the governments of the world collude together to loan money that doesn't exist. They charge exorbitant amounts of interest on money that doesn't exist, and they collect and capitalize on money that doesn't exist, the interest on it. Now, when you stop playing this game, then you will be your own bank. And if you're going to borrow money, borrow it from yourself at no interest, because you're skilled at creating money. You're skilled at creating results. You're innovative and you're creative, and you start to come from value and service. But if your value ladder and your value proposition isn't commensurate with creating profit, then you'll operate a nonprofit business from the discomfort of your home. As you begin to forgive and let go of anxieties that no longer serve you, as you begin to forgive the people who violated you and harmed you, as you no longer the mind-body connection to the violations, the traumas that created the neurological network of neurons that wire and fire together that create your anxiety, now you can move into your awareness. Once you're in your awareness, your brain begins to change. You begin to rewire and fire a new brain signal. You begin to create a new set of neurons that wire and fire that create a new set of feelings. Rather than being worried and anxious, you start to become aware, and you start to raise your level of awareness. You start to become conscious. You start to become prosperous. You have a better understanding of the inner game. You have a better understanding of cause and effect. You start to understand how predictable people are. And the more you understand people are predictable and human beings are predictable, then you're no longer overwhelmed and worried about an outcome that hasn't happened. Focus on being present. Focus on the skills. Focus on the common denominator, the skills that you master that keep you in the game. That's how you have to be creative. That's what street sense, street hustle is. When you start to understand that, then you're going to start to have more favorable outcomes than you have unfavorable outcomes. Life is not a numbers game, but there is a law of numbers, and you have to understand and respect the numbers so that you have the numbers on your side. That means the odds. But most people go and gamble. They play a game of chance. They don't learn the odds. And the house is always going to win until you understand the odds. And the house wins. That's how most people deal with life. Life kicks them in the ass. Instead of being kicked in the ass, you want to do the ass kicking. Now, what does that actually mean? It means that you have command of your emotions. You take charge of your life. You have a better understanding of how to create and be innovative and free enterprise. Creativity and innovation is your right brain. It's the salivation that happens in the back of your tongue. It's when you look at a magazine called The Rob Report, which incidentally I've subscribed to for 27 years, when you start to read The Rob Report, which is a magazine for luxury lifestyle, when you start to romance where you're going to travel, when you start to understand that the good life is waiting for you. So your dreams knock on your door, knock, knock, hello, I'm here. When you open, go, oh, I'm too scared to open the door. Oh, I'm not sure if I can handle my dreams. I'm not sure if I can control them. When you let go of that kind of anxiety, that's what so many people do. So many of my clients do that. They're worried about how they're going to control success, not understanding that they're in control of not being successful by controlling the control that keeps them anxious about failing. They spend more time worried about failing than they do mastering their emotions that allow them to be and stay successful. There's a certain repetition and experience in any vocation, any trade, any sport, any modality that you master. There's a language that you have to master of your vocation. There's a communication style that you start to teach your brain how to operate. You're no longer the mind-body connection to the body that is separate from the brain. But if you let your body drive your brain, then you'll cross your legs when someone approaches you. You'll check out, and out of your mouth will come, When you continue to make excuses about why you can't hire a coach, why you can't go to an event, when you continue to let money rob you of your opportunities, then you won't have money in motion. You want to learn to have money in motion rather than money in a very static place called debt. When you're in debt, money is very static. It does not move because you don't have any energy around it. When you're overwhelmed about money, money isn't overwhelmed about you. Money, it's finding its way into the hands of people who are skilled at it. That's what creativity and innovation is. When you have a why that's bigger than your problems, you begin to focus on your why, not your problems. Your energy shifts and moves. Mythically, magically, people begin to show up differently in a higher law of average. Many of you miss the signs. People show up in your life, and then you sabotage it. You ask me for a 15-minute coaching call, and you go, oh, well, yeah, I'm not sure I can handle this. Well, what is there to handle? It's just like Colonel Jessup. He was asked if he could handle the truth by Lieutenant Caffey. Well, he couldn't. He talked too much. You realize Colonel Caffey, in the movie A Few Good Men, he got set up, and he never would have lost that case if he wouldn't have talked too much. Unfortunately, that's what most people do. They over-talk, they over-explain, they over-justify, they over-validate, and they miss the signs and the clues that are right in front of them. And unfortunately, a large percent of society does this. The clue shows up, the person shows up, the messenger shows up, and most people sabotage it. They create one excuse that robs them of the experience. You have no idea what you rob yourself of by the way you sabotage yourself. You have no idea how much energy you devote to being overwhelmed when the person you're looking for shows up right there. But you let some reason bigger than your problem, you let a reason that's your problem, and you don't live in your why. You don't have a why big enough to overcome your problem. And you have to let go of your anxiety about money. So many people let money be their excuse not to be innovative and creative. I used to buy 10-cent leads, and people would say, oh, my God, those are the worst leads. Not for me. To me, a lead's a lead. One of the best people I ever enrolled was a 10-cent lead. Her name was Melissa. I called Melissa in 1996. The woman I called, her name was Melissa Tardif. The woman I was calling was Melissa Johnson. The woman told me I had the wrong number, and I asked her if I had the right woman. She said I liked that. I asked her what she did for a career. She told me she managed an oil and gas lease room in Las Vegas, Nevada, which means she had a telemarketing room. She was doing placements, $7,000 to $35,000 placements. I presented her an opportunity. She listened to a 22-minute conference call. She told me that she was going to pass at that time. She later called me back. I didn't call her. I didn't follow up with her. She got started and made $250,000 in her second year with me. 10-cent lead, wrong name, wrong number. I once called a postcard lead for a woman who I asked, actually it was a male. I said, can I speak with Harvey? And the woman said, mister, there ain't no Harvey here. She hung up. I looked at the number. I knew I had the right number. I called back. I said, can I speak with Harvey, please? She goes, I told you, mister, there ain't no Harvey here. I said, what's your name? And she goes, Barbie. Barbie was from Arkansas, and she had an accent, 501 area code. Barbie went on to become a million-dollar income earner in that company in her fourth year, and I called the lead for someone else that was in my team. That person sponsored them. That person that sponsored them also became $250,000 income earner. That, once again, was a postcard lead. Now, it was interesting. That lead was given to me by a person on my team who went to an event. He quit the business. He had 13 leads in his voicemail box, gave me the leads. I called the leads for someone in my team. I gave them the leads, but I did a call to show them how to call the leads, and that lead that I called for someone else became a million-dollar income earner. This is why you have to be creative and innovative. You have no idea what you're passing on. In 1995, I was $100,000 in credit card debt. Actually, to be precise, it was $99,979 and some change. But when street sense, you round it up. And I didn't let that rob me of my opportunity. I knew that I had 90 days to create some kind of synergy, and that's what I did. Nothing happened major in my first month. I enrolled 4 people. My 7th month, I enrolled 7 people. My 2nd month. My 3rd month, I enrolled 19 people. And in those 19 people, 3 of those people rank advanced that calendar year into the equivalent of about $4,000 to $5,000 a month. That became the foundation of that business that later became a 7-figure business. I did not let the fact that I had no credit. I'd never been in a place where I not only had no money and no credit, and I had no friends. So that was the NFL club in 3 places. No friends left, no funds left, and not for long. Now that trifecta required creativity and innovation to overcome. I let go of my membership at Quail Lakes Athletic Club. I let go of my pass. I had a pass where I was skiing at Kirkwood. Kirkwood in my area is where all his homies ski in the Lake Tahoe area. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. I can be at 11,000 vertical. Unfortunately, I haven't skied since 1999. I used to ski 40 to 50 times a year, and I had a pass every year. I let that go. I devoted my energy to breaking through that year. Now, what would happen? I'm asking you to imagine. Your imagination is your innovation, your creativity. Imagine what would happen if all of a sudden you started to create a 5-figure income monthly, and that 5-figure income became a $20,000 a month income, a $30,000 a month income, a $50,000 a month income, a $100,000 a month income. Imagine what would happen if you had teammates that were breaking through, people in your circle of influence that were starting to get it, receive it, understand it. They started to collaborate with you. You started to have a mastermind alliance, one of more coming together for like mind. Imagine what that, see, your imagination, you require to ignite your imagination, get the match out, be the light that ignites that imagination. Smile more frequently. See if you can go one entire day, one day, I challenge you. See if you can go one day without being critical of yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you wake up and you're positive, not fake positivity, but be innovative, be creative, be objective, be real, be genuine, be authentic, be rigorously honest about why you do what you do. Don't criticize yourself. Don't tell yourself you're dumb, you're stupid, you can't believe this happened to me. Do you see if you go one whole day without being pissed off without someone? See if you can go one whole day without being critical. Now, that doesn't mean you're positive. It means that you're objective. Be in a state called objectivity. Understand what the term metacognition means. See a situation for what it is without personalizing it. As you can learn to do that, you'll be able to trust and know more frequently. And in this state, there's no separation. When there's no separation between you and the outcome, then people begin to mythically, magically, and there is no magic, but people begin to randomly show up at a much higher law of averages. As you're able to adapt and adjust, you're creating a new reflex. And that reflex is called auto-suggestion. Rather than check out, you're checked in. Rather than being overwhelmed, you're aware. Whether you're feeling rejected, you understand that that's an objection. Rather than being interested, you're committed. Rather than being curious, you're serious. You start to let go of the dualities and the contradictions that keep you overwhelmed, unevolved, in a very low level of emotional consciousness that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. As you begin to no longer be the mind-body connection of the events that shape your feelings, as you start to harness and bring a different level of power, then you're no longer the force to someone's counterforce. You're no longer validating, justifying, explaining yourself. You're no longer saying frequently. Kind and sorted do not show up in your communication. You're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your addictions. You're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shaped your low self-esteem. As you let go of your low self-esteem, and you let go of being confident and competent, then you can begin to be but one with. Not only you're confident and confident, but you're lovable, you're capable. You're someone who is a leader and a leader grower. You attract to reality people of like mind. You attract to reality people who believe what you believe as you change your beliefs. As you learn to live in a sense of certainty, you no longer live in a sense of doubt. As you're no longer in doubt, you're no longer in overwhelm. As you're consciously aware, you're attracting your reality people and situations to foster your dreams, people who have dreams, people who can collaborate to create dreams, people who can create a culture with, a community, a tribe. As you start to attract your reality, adapting and adjusting, your reflexes begin to change. So you begin to you're living and being creative. Your creativity means you adapt and adjust and on command. You can figure situations out that you no longer gave yourself credit for. You're not worried about what other people are going to think about you. That doesn't even enter your wheelhouse anymore. When people tell me they're worried about what their friend's going to think, I go, name one. Who are these people? I'm worried about what people are going to say on me. I have anxiety about putting myself out there. Where is out there? I mean, where is that? Is that a place where the emperor wears no clothes? Is that what it means? I mean, what does out there actually mean? Out there is the story you tell yourself. Is that internet land? Is that Facebook land? Where is out there? Is that the stratosphere? Is that the hemisphere? Is that where Mercury's in retrograde? Where is that? Is that where Saturn and Pluto? I mean, where is out there? Out there is a mythical, magical story you tell yourself to check out so that you don't have to be responsible. If you're going to be successful, there's moving parts of success that you have to master. To master the moving parts of success, you have to master your emotional state. That means that you're living in a place called awareness. You're no longer anxious. You're not in guilt, shame, anger, rejection, hate, resentment, or anger. As you begin to let go of those anxieties, you begin to live a lot more frequently in a consciously aware state, knowing what you know, believing what you believe, attracting people who believe what you believe. As you change tradition and you start to live in a much more innovative, creative mindset, you're able to adapt and adjust, and you figure it out frequently. Not only do you figure it out without checking out. You figure it out because you figured in. You're there right now. You know. You know how to adapt and adjust. You can look at a situation for what it is and size it up and then make the move instead of hesitating, levitating, pontificating. You have to be able to create on command rather than I'll create when I have it. So many people tell me they want to get more educated. Success isn't about education. Success is about application. Success is about the application of the education that you put into practical application to create a result. When you become results-driven, results-oriented, when you live for results and you're a producer and you're productive, when you're a closer, you're no longer a poser. When you're a closer, you create transactions. Transactions are the fuel to your business because that fuel to your business is profit. And you want to have more profit than you have wages. You'll pay wages to employees, but you live for profits. Your profit dollars are with after tax and after expenses, and your profits would allow you to live your dreams. And if your dreams are not being realized, then you're in an overwhelmed, emotionally addicted state, tiptoeing quietly through life, living the pain of regret. As you begin to let go of the cause that creates the effect of your anxiety, you can be consciously aware creates innovation and creativity. Now you're in a know state. When you know that you know, then you're starting to receive at a very high level of consciousness. Content is beamed to you. You're able to disseminate it, speak to it on command without trying to figure out how you received it. That's when you can look at a book and know the outcome before you read it because you just know. You just know. When you live in that state, you're going to go to the restaurant and you know you're going to get a booth. You're going to get a great service, and you're going to have a parking space up front. But when you talk yourself out of that, God, they're probably, it's a holiday. We'll never find a parking space. Oh, my God, we'll probably have to wait at least an hour. The food will probably come out cold. This is how many people talk themselves into a negative experience to fulfill their low self-esteem. But the experience that you require is in your left brain. That's where you begin to salivate in the back of your tongue. Your brain secretes a neurochemical called dopamine. It's the feel-good factor. It's the sex energy. You're able to drop down lower in your body and your abdomen. It's that release you experience, that release of life that you go, oh, my God, I knew this would happen to me. This is when you find checks, you find money, you find coins. It happens to you easily and effortlessly. Money shows up in the mail. Good things happen to those, not who wait. Good things happen to those who produce. As you become productive, innovative, and creative, you're going to attract your reality a different kind of person of like mind. That's your mastermind alliance, one or more of like mind coming together for a common cause. The more creative and innovative you are, I'm not good at writing. Of course you're not. You're not creative at it. Creative writing means you're able to create on command. I like to read fiction books, and I like to figure out the plot before it ever happens. I love to read plot. I love to read great fictions, people like Grisham. I like to read Michael Connelly, who wrote 28 books. He used to be an L.A. crime writer. I love some of his characters and the characterization. It takes a lot of creativity to create the plots in the book, understand the history of the regions of where it is, put it all together and create a bestseller. That creates a tremendous amount of creativity. And there's the system writing. When you learn how to write in a system using your creativity, you'll attract followers, organic followers, people who will begin to follow your post. But when you talk yourself out of it because you have anxiety about situations that haven't happened, there's no creativity, there's no spontaneity, there's no innovation, there's no consciousness. That creates a very low level of anxiety, and you'll attract your reality, people and situations to fulfill your low self-esteem. My name is Jeffrey Combs, president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. If you seek to connect with me, collaborate with me, you want to find out more about my coaching services, what I can do and be for you in a 15-minute time slot, send me a Facebook message. Let me know what you want me to assist you with your phone number. I will respond to your message, stimulus and response, with innovation and creativity extremely quickly. 209-932-0227. And to all of you on tonight's call, a little moment of gratitude. I want you to know how much I appreciate you being my friend, my client, my collaborator, my customer, someone who's attended many of my events, endorsed me on Facebook, other social media sites. On this great holiday of gratitude, I want you to know how grateful I am to have had the privilege of collaborating with you, being your coach, your friend, and someone who's shared space in this great planet with us called Earth. We live in one of the greatest countries in the world, the United States of America, the land of free enterprise, the land of the brave, the land of the opportunity to create on command. Have a great evening, everyone, and a great holiday season. I will see you next Tuesday on December 6th, 2 weeks from tonight. I will have Josephine Gross from Networking Times. That will be a fabulous call. Have a great evening, everyone. Happy holidays.